Hello, everyone. We're going to get seated and begin the meeting. And we'll call to order the June 12th, 2025 Zoning Adjustment Board meeting. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I will start off by reading the much shorter public advisory. This meeting will be conducted in a hybrid model with both in-person and virtual participation. The teleconference will be recorded as any ZAB meeting is recorded, and all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for ZAB meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. Virtual participation. To access the meeting remotely, join from a PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or Android device. Please use the URL which is on your agenda. If you do not wish for your name to appear on the screen, then use the drop-down menu to click on Rename. To rename yourself to be anonymous, to request to speak, use the raise hand icon by rolling over the bottom of your screen. If you want to access by phone, there's a number on the agenda, and enter the webinar ID also on the agenda. If you wish to comment during the public comment portion of the agenda, press *9 and wait to be recognized by the chair. The public testimony guidelines. To speak at a hearing, please submit a speaker comment card to city staff prior to the meeting. Those are these green cards that are up here. So if you have not submitted one online in person already, then come on up here and submit those now. If you are online, then you can wait to until I call you, and then there will be a raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And wait, and I will tell you when. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any members of the public may attend this meeting. The chair may limit the number of speakers and the length of the time allowed to each speaker. All right, I'm going to begin with roll call and ex parte communications.
Can I call your name? Please state any ex parte communications. Commissioner Duffy.
Present, no ex parte.
Chair Gaffney?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Thompson?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Palmateer?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Allen?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Choi?
Present, no ex parte.
Vice Chair Young?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Kashani?
Present, no ex parte.
All right, wonderful. Full house today. We love that. We are going to now move on to the public comment on non-agenda matters. I am going to go over the consent calendar and the action calendar right now so you know what's on that. So comment during this portion will be only on things that are unrelated to any of these projects that I'm about to say. The first item is 811 Cedar. This is on the consent calendar. 2100 and 2108 Milvia Street, also on the consent calendar, and 1155 Hearst, which is on the action calendar. So if you have something to say about anything that is not related to any of those projects, now is your time. I'm going to see first if I have anything from the public here in person. Okay, looks like we have one. We have Stephen. Stephen, if you'd like to come on up here, we'll give you 2 minutes to say whatever you'd like.
Hey everybody, my name is Steven Schuyler, and I live in downtown Berkeley. And what I wanted to say tonight is, I know I'm a familiar face, and I've expressed my concern about the high-rise buildings that will be going up, or at least they're planned to anyway, and my concern about the disabled people and how that would be affected to them. But tonight I'm concerned a little different way. Is that I've been reading some news articles that those projects are going to be delayed for various reasons. And the article I read tonight is 2 or 3 years was quoted in the paper by Mr. Rhodes. Center Street is now boarded up and fenced up. And I certainly hope it is not going to stay that way for 2 or 3 years. Because now, basically, Shattuck Avenue, all of the storefronts are empty. Center Street is empty. I'm going to invite each one of you to go walking down both sides of Shattuck Avenue and Center Street, both sides, between Bancroft and University, and count how many storefronts are actually empty. Downtown area is decimated and empty. It needs to be reopened, Mr. Rhodes. I'm talking to you too. I don't care how much it costs to put the utilities back. If they're disconnected, reconnect them and open up Center Street.
Here. Okay, nope, this is on the next project. This is on the action calendar one. So right now is the time online. If you have anything to say on the consent calendar, now is the time. Okay, I am not seeing any hands in person or online. So okay, then if we have anything else, then...
Second.
Perfect. All right, we have a motion. Well, okay, actually, one thing I did want to add, actually, I'm already forgetting. We did have a supplemental communication about Cedar Avenue. So the that will include the shadow studies. So as long as you all are friendly. Then. A roll call vote.
Put on there.
Wonderful. Thank you. I forgot to mention that as well. And that is also striked from Milvia Street, or only striked from Milvia Street. All right. We'll take a roll call vote.
All right, we have a motion from Commissioner Allen, a second from Vice Chair Young to approve the consent calendar.
It was Commissioner Duffy, actually.
Sorry. Second from Commissioner Duffy to approve the consent calendar with the changes. When I call your name, please state your vote. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney?
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes, but I'd like to abstain from the minutes from last week or from the last meeting.
Thank you. Commissioner Palmateer?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Kashani?
Affirmative.
Thank you.
All right, wonderful. The motion passes. You will have your use permit 14 days after the notice of decision is mailed, unless it is appealed during that time. All right, moving right along. We are on to the action calendar now, where we have one item. That item is 1155 Hearst. And per usual, we will start with a staff presentation once we are all set up. So give us a second and we will kick it off.
So presenting for this project will be Lisa Gordon, consultant planner.
Hello, this is Lisa Gordon. I just want to make sure you can hear me.
We can hear you just fine.
Okay, sorry, when I joined as a panelist, it paused for a minute.
No worries. Yeah, no, hear you loud and clear. Go on ahead and give your presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening. I'm Lisa Gordon, Senior Contract Planner with RENCOMF Consultants, working as an extension of City of Berkeley staff. The project being presented before you tonight is use permit number 2024-0157 to modify conditions of approval for a residential project originally approved under ZP 2016-0028. The modification revises conditions of approval number 16 and 58 of ZP 2016-0028 to allow the developer to process a condominium conversion application to convert units from rent-controlled apartments into for-sale condominium units. Oops. And next slide. The neighborhood is comprised of a mix of residential zoning districts, including two family residential and multifamily residential zones. Next slide. The property is located in a West Berkeley neighborhood. University Avenue is located one block to the south, and San Pablo Avenue is located one block to the west. The neighborhood consists predominantly of one to two story single and multifamily dwellings, with a few three story and four story structures located towards the west San Pablo Avenue. The neighborhood is in close proximity to several bus transit lines, commercial businesses, and the West Berkeley Library. Next slide. The original use permit for the construction and renovation of the 13 residential units was approved by the Zoning Adjustments Board on August 23rd, 2018. An appeal of the ZAB decision was filed by an attorney representing a neighbor of the project and raised concerns regarding the use of a CEQA exemption, drainage, flooding, and overall detrimental impacts to the surrounding neighborhoods. 29 additional individuals signed a petition in support of the appeal. The clerk set the matter for review by the City Council on January 29th, 2019, and at that public hearing, the council decided to remand the project back to ZAB to undertake further CEQA analysis, review the project based on CEQA findings, and analyze the detriment to rent-controlled units. The project was brought back to the ZAB on May 9th, 2019 to address the concerns of impacts to the rent-controlled units. Conditions of approval 16 and 58 were added to the project to prevent the existing rent-controlled units from being converted to condominium for sale units. The conditions were developed by the applicant, land use staff, and rent stabilization board staff. The applicant agreed to the conditions at the May 2019 meeting, and the ZAB took no action on the project, thereby returning the item to City Council. The City Council approved the project at their June 9, 2020 meeting. Since the approval of the use permit, the applicant has completed the construction of two duplex buildings and the renovation of an existing single-family home on the eastern parcel. So you can see on the right-hand side of the screen, there's three units with a darker blue box. And those are the units that two were brand new construction and the one closest to Hearst was a renovation. All of these units, five in total, were sold as townhome condominium units. In addition, half of the original tenants have moved out of the rent-controlled units on the in the units on the western parcel. Next slide, please. The current use permit modification proposes to modify conditions of approval 16 and 58 of the original use permit, which restrict the developer from applying for or processing condominium conversions of the existing rent-controlled units. The revised conditions would allow the developer to apply for and process the conversion of the units from rent-controlled apartment to condominium for sale units, consistent with Berkeley Municipal Code requirements. The conditions were primarily added to the project to protect the original tenants of the six existing rent-controlled units, but now only three of the rent-controlled units are occupied. If these conditions were eliminated, Berkeley Municipal Code would still protect the existing tenants of the rent-controlled units from eviction and require exclusive right to purchase for the tenants. Rent Board staff has been involved in the drafting and editing of the revised conditions, and they are comfortable with the revised language. The use permit modification does not approve the condominium conversion. A MAP application will still be required. Existing tenants as of October 24, 2024, which is the date the application was filed, shall be permitted to remain in their unit until they choose to vacate their unit. This application does not involve any physical changes to the building design or layout of the project as originally approved. Next slide, please. Three comment letters were received in response to the ZAB public hearing notice. The letters noted concern with the conversion of rent-controlled units into for-sale condominiums due to increasing housing costs or rents associated with improvements for the condos and the displacement of existing tenants. It's important to note again that this use permit application does not approve the condominium conversion. It only removes the conditions that prohibit it and allows the property owner to apply for a condominium conversion subdivision. The existing rent-controlled units would stay rent-controlled, and a conversion of the units to condominiums is not allowed until the existing rent-controlled units are vacated by the existing tenants, who will also have the first right of refusal to purchase the condominium units if they choose. Next slide. So at this time, staff recommends that the ZAB find that the project is categorically exempt from the provisions of CEQA pursuant to Section 15301 of the CEQA guidelines, existing facilities, and approve use permit ZP 2024-0157 pursuant to Section 23406.040D and subject to the attached findings and conditions. This concludes staff presentation.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lisa. Does anyone, members of the commission, have any questions for city staff right now? Yeah, Vice Chair Young.
I think for a lot of people, having sat through that presentation, the first question that always comes up is, what were the conditions under which those tenants who have since left under? So to the extent that it may be available, is there evidence in the record to demonstrate that those tenants vacated under no duress or pressure from the property owner? Or in other words, those turnovers were, you know, just kind of the natural turnover of, you know, people moving out of properties?
I'd like to understand how you see that relates to our work on the Zoning Adjustments Board related to the findings of no physical changes and the position that the Rent Stabilization Board has taken to support these changes.
Yes, I'll note that I believe it was Rent Stabilization Board staff. It seems to me as though the ZAB's previous conditions of approval were related to imposing conditions to disincentivize condominium conversion that would basically create an incentive to potentially displace rent-controlled tenants. So operating under what I'm assuming ZAB's previous action was primarily motivated by, I want to understand how conditions have changed here since, you know, in a sense, what we're considering is a kind of revisiting a previous decision by this body.
All right. Well, staff would not mind answering that question if they have the answer to that question.
Sure. The applicant provided us with some of the history for the file, but the units were vacated just out of the owner's or the renter's preference. We also do have some rent board staff in attendance tonight, well, virtually, if there's any additional questions, but they would be the agency that oversees the rent control compliance and vacation of those units. The applicant can also elaborate on that question too.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, Commissioner Gashani.
I wasn't here when the board considered the original use permit, and the property owner accepted those conditions. I'm curious to know what has changed and on what basis. I didn't see anything that that explained why they want this change. The applicant can provide that.
Thank you, and we will have an applicant. So yes, staff, if you have an answer to that, if not, we will save that for after the applicant presents. But yeah, staff, do you have anything to say on that?
The applicant indicated that the condominiums and townhomes that they sold quickly and were very desirable, and kind of filled a missing middle, and provided housing stock that was a little bit more affordable for first-time homeowners. But the applicant can elaborate on that.
Okay, thank you. That gives us a good preview. Just any other, yeah, Commissioner Palmateer.
Curious if there is a municipal definition of renovation that we're operating under.
There's a definition of demolition, and that's if it's considered a demolition if you're if you are taking away more than 50% of the exterior facade and roof. So as long as you're within that threshold, it's a renovation.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's more about the definition of demolition. Is that?
I think it answers my question. The reason why I ask it is because I live right up the block from, I think it was the Camellia that's currently under construction, and without having a close observation of it, it seemed less of a renovation, which to me would be retaining the original structure and renovating the interior, and the current work does not appear to fit that definition. So I was curious of staff's definition for that.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Commissioner Sanderson, do you have? Nope. All right. Does anyone else have questions for city staff? We're still going to move right along. Okay. Sounds this is not your last chance. Don't worry. We are going to go to the applicant presentation now, in which the applicant will have 5 minutes to present. Just like the applicant's Mark Rhodes. Hello. Welcome. We are getting that presentation up. Hold tight, everyone online.
Want me to get my computer?
All right, give us a second, everyone. We are working on getting this presentation up. We have not forgotten about everyone online. I guess you can see us sitting here.
have it on the drive. Use the PDF.
Okay, Commissioner Khashoggi has something.
Yeah, if I may be recognized, thank you. I just remembered that I am partner in property that's within 500 feet of this site, so I'm going to recuse myself.
Perfect, thank you. So yeah, Commissioner Khashoggi will be recusing himself for this. He will not be in the room, so yeah, we'll make sure city staff heard that and everything. All right. Yeah, so you will have to leave the room for this.
With your eyes.
You can be like...
Yeah, but yes, you are not allowed to be here.
Okay, I'll be back.
I'll get you when we're done.
Oh, there it is.
That's how it goes.
Where do I go?
Thank you. No, very, very good timing. You can go. It's still light outside. All right, and it looks like we have the presentation up now, too. So perfect timing for everything. All right, Mark Rhodes, take it away. 5 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Zoning Adjustments Board, good evening. Staff, thank you very much for the opportunity to appear here tonight. This photo is the current street view of pretty close to what the status of construction on the site is right now. The single family home on the right has been finished and moved into, and the scaffolding has come down on the center building right there. I want to say two things before I go any further because they're big questions on your mind. First, the condition of approval that protects the tenants in place without construction, we proposed it. We proposed it as a part of the project. And then we worked with the rent board and staff to refine the condition that then became a deed restriction on the project. We wanted to demonstrate to the Zoning Adjustments Board, the public, and our residents that we had no interest in trying to get them off of the property. We also decided we stripped off the density bonus aspect of the project because the neighborhood got so upset about the additional 5 units that the project would have had. And then we kept all of the buildings at 2 stories. So we didn't have to do any of that, but we did. And so then the other thing we did is instead of starting the new duplex, which is under construction in the back right away, we waited until we had 2 units open. Folks left of their own accord, and we started construction on that one and then the new duplex that's in the back. So with that, let's advance, please. 13 units total. There are 11 on site right now. The townhomes on the east side of the project are very, very nice, presented some sort of entry-level home ownership opportunities. Next slide, please. And so you've seen this site plan from staff already. You can see the massing model just above it. Our commitment to the tenants remains, to the tenants that do remain. And we've, again, proposed language and worked with the rent board staff and planning staff to modify the language and some of it at staff's suggestion to make sure that the sitting residents are protected in perpetuity as long as they'd like to live there. While we will condominiumize their units, they don't have to move out of them. And they will also get a right of first refusal ultimately if they're interested to buy those units. So next slide, please. Staff's already gone over the conditions of approval, but this is the meat and potatoes of this ask. This is the language that protects the residents for as long as they wish to remain in their rent-controlled units. Next slide. Some photographs, the rear townhomes on the bottom, 2 stories, 2-bedroom, 1.5 bath, the completely renovated and remodeled single-family home in the front. And those 5 units now sit on a parcel with a homeowners association, and that gate next to the house up there is the pathway down to the new units. Next slide. That's the housing language from the city council from 2019. It's not dissimilar to what we see in the housing element right now. Some of it's now sort of matters of state law and is about to become local law potentially with the council's adoption of missing middle. And that is really what this project is. You can see in the picture on the bottom, kind of it's a rough Google Earth view, but you can kind of see what that 2 stories does. 4 new units in the back, And there's still little bits of open space. The single family homes in the lower right are well separated with their backyards. And you can see to the west of us, actually, those are condominium units that were built in the late 1980s. Next slide, please. Why all at once? It's really expensive to do. The engineering costs, the legal fees to create the HOA, et cetera, it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. We don't wish to do it again, which is why we wanted to make it clear to you and ultimately potentially the city council that we're inviting our current residents to stay as long as they'd like. And you can see what we did with the backyard in the lower left, how much open space there was back there. These are quite deep parcels. This is actually a total of 13 units on just about half an acre. Next slide, please. And that's it. I'm happy to try to answer any questions. I think I heard a couple and am happy. I think I can answer all the questions you might have. And so I'm at your disposal.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mark. Any commissioners want to kick us off with questions to the applicant? No one has any. Commissioner Vice Chair Young.
Would you mind going back to the presentation? I just want to understand the all at once slide.
So there's been some question about why would we move to condominiumize the rent-controlled apartments where the residents will remain now instead of waiting until later.
Okay, right. Yeah, I guess I wanted to understand. So the maneuver...
Go back one slide.
I guess correct me if my understanding is wrong. We are considering amending the conditions, and if those amendments were executed as recommended, then it would allow the applicant to condominiumize all of the currently non-condominium units on the property. Is that correct?
Correct.
I'm curious, what does the condominium process look like with current tenants in there? Would that involve physical alteration to the units? Would that just be an exercise on, you know, a parcel map? You know,
so it's
I'm
a
just
good question
for that process.
No, the condominium conversion process in Berkeley is quite complicated. I think the most important thing is, and this really is for our residents, it requires us to, and we had an inspection this morning of all of the existing units. We had to hire a third party certified building inspector to go through all of the units. He's going to now generate a list of things that have to be done to bring the units into compliance and good repair. We then have to fix all of those things in the existing units. Heater's not right, if this isn't right, whatever. We have to fix those things before we can convert the units. So the neighbors' units are gonna be upgraded as a matter of code requirement if necessary. Yes, and building code, fire code, all of it. They're checking for all of it, I think. So then once we're able to deal with all of those changes, we'd be able to submit the condominium map for all of those units. So the new ones and the existing ones, and there'll be a deed restriction on the property that would prevent the sale of those three units where our existing residents are after the condominium conversion. And at some point, if any of those three decide they'd like to purchase that unit in perpetuity, they would have right of first refusal to it anyways.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Palmateer.
So in describing the inspection that occurred today and the upgrades that were, I don't know if requested or stated.
We won't know for a while. He's got to go back and make
so
a report.
Is my understanding correct that those will only happen if the condominium conversion process is initiated? Will those updates to meet health and safety code, fire code, not occur unless you're starting this condominium conversion process?
No, I think actually once we see that report, if there are code issues, then it is our responsibility to take to remedy those issues, even if we never pursued the condominium map. And to be sure, there are a number of items that we're in the process of fixing and repairing. Some things have taken a really long time. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of construction on the site for the last couple of years. But we do still even have an open list of building permits that we're working on several of the existing units.
Thank you. Any other questions for the applicant before we move on? Yeah, Commissioner Thompson.
So if the tenants refuse and they can't, they don't purchase the condominium, is it sold to someone else then?
No. They can continue. They can live there as long as they want.
Okay. It's just an option for them to purchase at that point.
If they want it, if they want to take it. These are the most rent protected units in Berkeley, actually.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, Commissioner.
Please forgive my line of inquiry. This is just, I think, for more than a couple of years I've been here, the first time, the novel situation I've seen something like this. For old buildings, to bring them up to building code, that's pretty significant. Earthquake, you know, stabilization, you know, electrification, that's like significant work. So I guess, and I ask these questions because I'm really curious what policy incentives or disincentives does the question before us tonight create, depending on which route we go. And I'm sure you can understand how this is a difficult and complicated situation to get our heads around. Would, maybe this is a question for staff, but under just, I'm sorry, just for applicant. Just according to the process that's happening right now, are you aware of what type of renovations the units require independent of the condominium issue, which it sounds like is underway?
I mean, we've recently replaced a couple of windows in a unit. We've, you know, ceiling repairs and things of that nature, but we won't know. I mean, they aren't falling down, so we don't expect too significant of a report, but we won't get the report probably for several weeks. And, you know, I think this is kind of a really exciting demonstration of how we can blend missing middle in Berkeley. There aren't going to be residential properties that are vacant, generally speaking, or don't have rent-controlled units on them. And if we can find ways to blend rent-controlled units and protect our existing community in place while we create these sort of entry-level homeownership opportunities, I think that that's kind of the dream. We're really proud of this project.
I have a question, really a comment. It's my understanding under the condo conversion ordinance that if they can't meet the building code, they can meet the health and safety code. So they don't all have to be raised to the building code standard. Is that correct?
I mean, I'm not sure, but.
Well, that's my, I worked on it for a long time.
Even I mean, other it's changed a lot in the last 10 years,
yeah,
or even 5 years.
I know, but I went through it very carefully recently when an issue came up for ADDs, and I believe it, that part is still the same. That if they can't meet the building code, which many old properties can't meet the building code, it, you know, would be exorbitantly expensive. If they meet the health and safety code, then you can continue and you can disclaim what are the building code issues that cannot be met. So they have to be stated on the title of the property. So the health and safety code, for those who aren't into this minutia, is a standard they use whether something can be a dwelling unit. So older buildings that maybe were built, you know, long before whatever, if they meet the health and safety code, then they can rent the unit because it's safe for tenants. And it gets at fire and seismic and all of that. So anyway.
No, thank you. That's all very important, and especially to a discussion like this. Looks like we're probably good on questions, and we are going to move to public comment now. I do have one green card, and so right now also, if you're online, now is the time to raise your hand. I'm going to go in person first, and then I will call online. In person, we're going to go with Wayne. So Wayne, come on up. You will have 2 minutes. I will let you know when your time's up, and then you'll need to wrap up after like one sentence.
Hello. Hopefully I can get a couple more minutes than that, because I'd like to mention something that Brandon actually said, asking a question about people moving out. One client, one of the people that were living there signed an NDA. She moved out overnight, gone, just disappeared. And then the one that recused himself actually asked a question about the missing middle. To own a property of, basically they'll probably be selling the condos for around $1 million. To own one of those and qualify, you'd have to be making $400,000 to $500,000 to qualify. That's not the missing middle. The people that are living there today are the missing middle, the ones that are not making that kind of money. So bear that in mind when you're thinking about this discussion. And I think part of this that's frightening some of these people that live there, including myself, is just the verbiage of the title. Rent-controlled units into for sale. So getting rid of rent-controlled units into missing into selling the property. And then if we look at Conowhocans and AB 1482, it says single-family homes and new construction of condominiums are not under rent control for the first 10 years. So as soon as they're converted into condominiums on paper, rent control is gone. I mean, so are the missing middle. People are living there are gone. I think that's why both 14 and 58 was put in place to protect just that. And I know this is just the first step of removing those two, so then it can be converted to condominiums. But I just say, start looking at, you know, if the law states that they can kick people out once it's converted, that's exactly what's going to happen. And then there was another problem of Rhodes talked about inspections done today. The city of Berkeley has done inspections for over 2.5 years with violations that they refused to
fix. You will have to go in just like one or two more sentences. I'm sorry, we have to stick. It's for fairness.
Just look at the city yourself. They've already, 2.5 years, they've come and bothered us every few months to do inspections. There's a lot of things that hit on there for health and safety, and they haven't fixed them.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate respecting the time. Looks like we have at least no more in person. All right, now is the time for online. I'm not seeing any hands online right now. Give it another minute, but I don't think there is anyone coming. Oh, nope, there is. Nice. Okay, Ania. Ania, it is going to, I'm going to allow you to talk now, and you will also have 2 minutes, and I will let you know when your time is up. Okay, you should be able to unmute now.
Hi, it's Ania, actually, but you were close.
Ania, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't think I have a question. I actually live next door to this construction, and the bureaucracy around this project's been through the roof. And as we're discussing people living on this lot that is being currently developed, no one talks about people living around it. There is 4 units next door, and we've been living next to this construction site for 3 years. And I tell you, the building that remains is not up for code and definitely has health issue violations. So honestly, for us neighbors, we want this to be done. So the only question I have is, how much longer is this gonna continue on? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anya. All right. It doesn't look like we have any more people online. So in that case, I will call for a voice vote of closing the public hearing. Unless we have any more questions for city staff right now, obviously reopen it, but all right.
I have a question staff, if that's okay. My question for staff is that, well, in my 5 years of being on the board here, we haven't dealt with an issue such as this. And I know that the rent board, and I can believe, of course, that the rent board are the specialists. They are the board that manages these sorts of issues. Is the only reason that this is before us is because it was a previous condition of approval in that one unique way?
So this use permit modification is before the ZAB, because the ZAB ultimately approved the use permit. That's the only reason. The condominium conversion map, the map application that will come after this goes to Planning Commission and City Council.
Thank you. So this is just removing something that was that the ZAB had inserted as a condition back in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And would anyone from the commission feel more? It looks like we do have someone from the rent board here. We could have them speak to us if that's come if that's something we want. But I won't.
I have a question.
Yeah, of course, Michelle.
My recollection, and I was just trying to pull it up, of the demolition ordinance is that if it converts to a condo and then it is sold, it has to be, and it started out as rent control, then it has to go to the below market rate sales price for purchased units. So, you know, we have rental prices they set, and we also have for sale units that are subject to the rent control. And so it, my recollection is it doesn't just go to the open market. It is still the sale price is controlled. But I have to find the demolition ordinance. No, Mark's shaking his head.
Well, and if Mark, if you want to come up, we will need you at the mic so everyone can hear you. But we're happy to get more information on that.
The units, the converted units, are subject to a mitigation fee, but not a price control.
Okay.
But there is an affordable unit coming. One of the new ones that's under construction right now will be. Those are the fifth and sixth new units on the property, because we already built four of the other ones on the other side. And so one of those will be a below market rate condominium unit, so a limited equity condominium unit.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Sanderson, finish your thought if you are good. All right, Commissioner Palmateer, you're first, and then Commissioner Thompson.
I have a question for either the applicant or staff of what a mitigation fee entails.
Yeah, so either one, staff or applicant. Staff. We'll start with staff.
Sure. So the mitigation fee is to go into generally the city's fund for affordable housing so that the city can then build replacement affordable housing elsewhere. When you take certain units out off the market, you need to replace them either physically or via mitigation fees. And the city has different mitigation fees for affordable housing and for rent controlled units. But the fee would be determined when they process the condominium conversion.
Can I add on?
Thank you. And Commissioner Palmateer, were you good on that? Oh, yes. Commissioner Sanderson, go for it.
I wanted to expand on that. So we have an inclusionary requirement, how many units have to be below market rate. And then if a developer owner wants to, they can make a payment to the housing trust fund in lieu of putting the apartment in. And I think the fee is like, do you know what the fee is now, Mark? It's like, yeah, so it's what, 20,000? No. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Did someone else over there have a question? I thought they did at first, but that's okay.
I'll ask it. And I just want it for clarification, because we just had public comment speak something that was in contrary to what we've read and what we've heard from staff. So I just need it for the record. Mm-hmm. If this is true, this is a question for staff, but I believe it's also printed in the report, which is that the sitting tenants today are protected under current rent control measures and will continue to be protected under those same measures in perpetuity should they choose to stay. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, staff, for clarifying. I know this stuff can get very complicated. Are we good on closing the public hearing? We haven't even started discussion yet. Vice Chair Young.
Based on what's been presented to us tonight, you know, I think this is accurately described as significant renovations, which are good. It's good to upgrade old housing stock in such a way that doesn't constitute demolition. And in doing so, it doesn't trigger the city's demolition ordinance.
I think also we are only talking about these two, we're not talking about anything related to demolition. It is only just
appeal. I'm saying, yeah, it's not demolition.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
I wanted to ask, this is a question for city staff actually, what are the city's policies when significant renovation work is being done and there are existing tenants in that unit?
I'm sorry, this is part of my baggage is that I sat through all of these hearings as a planner at the City of Berkeley when this project went through. So I have listened to hours of conversation around these details. And so I really, it's important to me to enforce this evening that the project, the construction, the demolition, the renovation has already been approved. There are no physical changes that we are considering this evening. We are considering modifications to two of the conditions of approval. And what our focus is on is, does this meet the findings around consistency with the district purposes and consistency with the general plan? And those have been laid out in the staff report, and the staff has said those findings can be made. So I will really try hard to listen and be respectful of questions, but if we can focus on what is before us, and then when we have later projects that might involve questions around demolition or something related to that kind of construction and the details, I will, it would be wonderful if we could try to do that, and I will now be quiet.
Thank you, Commissioner Allen. Vice Chair Young, how are you? We're happy to still ask that question if you'd like.
Yeah, the question stands.
Okay, city staff.
So the original conditions of approval do not allow any type of improvements in the building that would require a certificate of occupancy. So that's already a condition of approval, number 17. There's also existing conditions for construction noise management, construction noise reduction, and then there was one for parking, because the parking can be, you know, taken up by construction staging or by the new building itself, and there's a stipend for the parking. So far as what's happening inside the building, that's probably more something for building and safety staff, which doesn't normally attend these meetings. Maybe Leaf can expand on that if he has any additional information from Leaf from Rent Board.
All right, thank you. And so, yeah, and I did want to thank Commissioner Allen for kind of discussing or reiterating really what our purview is within this project, and that really it is, even though we are asking some more in-depth questions, really the only thing that we are discussing is the modifications to these two conditions of approval. And I want to make that especially stress to the public, because obviously I know all of this can get incredibly confusing and convoluted. So I will let any other members of my commissioners to speak to more of that if they would like, or I would also entertain motions. Oh, we did not actually close the public hearing. Wow, sorry, we got to in discussion already. Are we good on questions then? All right, we're gonna do a voice vote then to close the public hearing. All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those in favor say no. Perfect, opposed. Sorry, I did not use the official lingo. All right, public hearing officially closed though. All right, now we're on to official discussion. Who would like to kick us off? We've already been having some interesting conversation. And once again, I appreciate Commissioner Allen for making sure we are on track with what we are discussing. Yeah, Commissioner Sanderson.
And I'd like to reiterate and give some strength behind Commissioner Allen's comment. You know, it's very interesting stuff. And you could talk all day and all night. I mean, I would encourage commissioners to sit down and read the demolition ordinance and read the condo conversion ordinance. I mean, they're pretty heavy duty and not easy to understand, but I think it would be good to get under your belt. But I think right now we just need to focus on the two amendments, and, you know, I think they're fine. They're confirming tenant rights that they sort of already had, but it puts those tenant rights in writing in the project itself. So
Thank you, Commissioner Searson. Commissioner Duffy.
I would like to make a motion to approve the item with the recommendations, both recommendations to find that the product is categorically exempt from the provisions of CEQA and also approve the use permit as proposed.
I'll second that.
Wonderful. All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Duffy and a second by Commissioner Sanderson. That is still up for discussion. If anyone has more things to say on that or friendly amendments, if not, we will take a vote. Looks like we are going to take a vote. All right.
Okay. We have a motion from Commissioner Duffy, a second from Commissioner Sanderson to approve the project as presented. When I call your name, please state your vote. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney?
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Palmateer?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
And Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the motion passes. You will have the use permit modification in 14 days after the notice of decision is mailed, unless it is appealed during that time. You will have time to appeal it during those 14 days. All right, thank you, everyone. We are done with the action calendar and moving right along. Pull up my agenda again, but I think I know. All right, well, we are on to... well, actually, I guess we can get also Commissioner Kashani back. Okay, good. There you go. Commissioner Duffy got him. Welcome back. Wonderful. You're allowed to watch, I guess, as a member of the public. You just couldn't be over here. So I guess you couldn't stop you from tuning in online on the back room if you wanted. You just have to be not a member of the board. Oh, yeah. Well, it's being a member of the board.
I mean, the issue why you recused yourself and to get out of the room is so your facial expressions or whatever don't influence our vote. So that's the reason you have to leave the room. Anyway.
I guess that's a curious thing. Well, I mean, like if a commissioner couldn't go sit in the audience and be a member of the public. Oh, you aren't even allowed to be in the room. Okay. No, that's good to know. Okay, no, that is a great thing that I just learned today. No, I figured you could be a member of the public if you wanted, but no, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Sanderson. Learned something new. And that's very important, because yes, wouldn't even think of facial expressions. But all right, we are almost done, because subcommittee reports, we do not have any yet. We will be meeting next week for design review, so Michael and I will report back next time. Any correspondence, ZAB announcements, or staff communication?
Just one final reminder that the June 26th ZAB meeting has been canceled and there's no more ZAB meetings for the month of June.
Well, it'll be a whole month until we see each other. So on that, does anyone have anything, any final closing words? Yeah, Commissioner Palmateer.
So I will not see you all until late July because I will not be attending the first July meeting because I'm getting married. So.
Oh, congratulations.
So that's why I'm not here.
Thank you. Wonderful. No, congratulations. All right. Well, then, if we have no more closing statements, then I will make a motion to close the hearing.
Second.
All right. We will, as usual, do a roll call vote.
We have a motion from Chair Gaffney to motion from Chair Daphne, a second from Commissioner Duffy to adjourn. When I state your name, please state your vote. Commissioner Duffy.
Yes.
Chair Gaffney.
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson.
Yes.
Commissioner Palmateer.
Yes.
Commissioner Allen.
Yes.
Commissioner Choi.
Yes.
Vice Chair Young.
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson.
Yes.
Commissioner Kashani.
Yes.
Wonderful. See you all in a month.